All right, so the title is called Reimagining Ta'anit Esther, Adapting the Fast for the Time of Mashiach. All right, so we just finished Shushan Purim an hour ago or two, yeah, an hour ago. So we just let this will be our last topic before we get into Pesach. So we'll say before we say completely goodbye. Obviously not a practical question, but I guess it's a theoretical question, which gets into a lot of different topics. Will we fast the Ta'anit Esther in the Most of Mashiach? So let me start open that up. What do you guys say? Go ahead.
No, I mean, it's the dumbest topic yet. The issue with Purim is going to, according to all this, the
Where are we
question
going to exist?
is Ta'anit Esther a key in the Purim or not, in which case it would continue.
Okay. Right. So, two of you pointed out that we're gonna see. Obviously, the issue is the question is, what is the identity of Ta'anit Esther? What is the relationship to Purim? And we know that Purim is going to exist in Yimei Mashiach. So does that automatically assume we'll also have time we'll have Ta'anit Esther as well if they're contingent on each other. Okay, so we will explore that. Not so simple. The Rav makes a theory that they are, but we'll see there are challenges to that, which we look for. Right, so Moshe, I'm gonna share the sheet with you on share screen. 1 second, bear with me. Okay. So we'll start with the last halacha in the laws of Hilchos Tainis in the Rambam. And he says as follows. Share screen here. Share screen. Okay. Right. So call it Mashiach. All these tzomos, which are mentioned. She mentions in the fifth chapter, will be bought all in the Yimei Mashiach. Hello, not only that, Ela Shehem Yom Tovim, which should be days of joy. Simcha, gladness and happiness and rejoicing. Mars, Zacharia, God says, Shem Hashem, Lord of Hosts says, Soma Ravi, Soma Hamishi, Soma Shvi, Soma Siri, Yay, Levesi Israel, Sasam Simcha, Tovim, by So Hashem, thus says Hashem, as reported by Zechariah, the fast of the fourth month, which we call Shavuos HaBetamlos, Tzoma Chamishi, that's called Tisha B'Av, Tzoma Shvi, that's Tzom Gedalia, Tzoma Asiri, that's the Aser HaBetavos, Yev L'Beis Yisrael, be for the house of Yehuda, L'Sason, L'Simcha, for gladness and for joy, L'Mo'adim, Tovim, and for good festivals. Good holidays, vashalom aivu, and for the truth and peace, they have loved. Okay, so that whole thing, that last few words, is sort of a little bit enigmatic, but not getting to that right now. So after reading this text, what do you say? He ends the entire chapter. I mean, well, before let's not let's get a couple more data points. Take a look at the beginning of the parak, just the first part. Yesham yamim shekol Yisrael misana behem. There are days that all of Israel that you fast because of the calamities that occurred with them. Kedil oral vavos, to stir the heart, liftoch darkei tshuva, to open the pathways of tshuva. Yezeh zikaron to for them to be the recollection of our evil actions. Umaseh avasim shehayu, and the activities of our forefathers, which are like our activities. That caused them and us are these calamities. Okay, so then he can list all of them, and then he lists Tisha B'Av. He lists the four, which I'm not we're economizing here, and then he puts in here. Benavu kol Yisrael bizmanim elu lihisanos b'shlosh asar ba'adar. Yeah, the minhag. Now it seems the minhag developed in the time of the Gaonim. It's not found in the Mishnah of the Gemara. It's only found in the Gaonic period, so it's post Talmud, So somewhere in the 600, 700, 800s, the Jewish community communities developed what we call Tainus Esther, right? And he says that's why. And he's, Rambam's very clear. It's a nahu. It's a minhag. It's not. He's not calling it part. It's not a takana. Not that they were masakin. And he says that to fast on the 13th day of Adar, zecher l'tainus shenisanu b'mei Haman, in recollection, to recall the fast that they fast in the days of Haman, Shtemar, Divriat Zakasam, the days of fasts and their crying out in Tefillah. Okay? So let me ask you a simple question. What fast is it recalling? What was the fast in the days of Haman? Right. Now, when was that fast? Yeah. Well, say, well, because the it seems that it says that that the Megillah is open that Achashverosh and Haman got together, and it was Nisan, and they says that they did it to send out on the 13th day of and then to It indicates that this was like the 13th. It does. This opens on the 13th day of. It was on the 13th day of Nisan, when they finally came to the deal. Then Mordechai hears about it. Then he goes down and cries, and then he propitiates Esther to go out. And so it seems the 3 days were really close. The Chazal say that was the 14th day of Nisan, which is Erev Pesach, first day of Pesach, and the second day of Pesach. So according to that, since they fasted day and night in Shushan, they did not observe any, they didn't have any siddurim. It was that level of emergency. And apparently they listened to him. Listened to him and masaking such a radical fast, day and night, 3 days in a row. We don't have such a thing. But that being the appropriate gesture for the situation. Okay. So, I mean, first of all, there's just general problem is that, well, what just what's the problem with Tainus Esther intrinsically? Just ask them a basic question. Who fasted on Shushan Purim? Who fasted on Tainus Esther? Who fast? That's right. Let me take it back. Who fasted in the Megillah? Not everybody. Her maidens. In Shushan, no, but in Shushan, not yeah, right. So it's not the entire Jewish people, just the people who are in the town, in the capital city of Shushan. So it wasn't for all of Klal Yisrael, and it was for 3 days. So then, the question, of course, is, well, how does this one day, which is a national fast, correspond to the, why is that? Why is that the appropriate gesture? And apparently, there were minhag to fast 3 days. There was a minhag. Apparently, shockingly, that did not take off. That minhag. Can't figure that one out. But anyway, so and also, we're not doing. Obviously, we're not doing it in Nisan. We're moving it back to Erev Pesach, Erev Purim. Okay, so that's okay, so what's the so let's just take a look at the psukim here. Okay, just take a look. Tichtov Esther Hamalka Basavigel Mordechai Yehudi Es Kol Tokov Kaimas Es Geras Geras Purim Hazos Shenis. And Esther the queen, okay, daughter of Abihail, Mordechai the Yehudi, and all the Tokim means really power. L'kayim, to establish, I guess, with all the power, with all the authority, to establish the Geras, the letter of Purim, a second time. Why did they do a second time? In other words, Mordechai already sent out that everybody should observe Purim. Yeah, so apparently Ibn Ezra has exactly that. So the Jews did it. What happened? Now, this is a very psychological point. So what happened in year one when they were victorious? Was there any takana in the first year? Or they won on they were supposed to be annihilated on the 13th day of Adar. They defeated the people outside of Shushan defeated their enemies. We found out they killed 75,000 anti-Semites, which is a huge haul. And on the 13th day of and they finished and they rested on the 14th day. Was there any takana for them to do anything? What do they do? What did they do? What does the Megillah say they did? What did the Jews do on the 14th day of Adar? Open the
Oh,
Pasuk.
that's the
They just it's virtually the Mishnah of Simcha. They just had just a celebration. Year or when it happened, they just had a spontaneous rejoicing because they just, in other words, the day that they were supposed to be wiped out, they were able to defeat their enemy. So it was a, there was no takana. It wasn't a legal phenomena. It was purely a natural reaction or natural reaction to the success. They had the thing, and they wanted so they want to make a commemorative of the date thing. And then they were mon they wanted to do a Mishnah Simcha and Mishloach Manos. And then the then Mordechai put in. He says he added one important thing which they apparently left out. And what do you think that the Hamonon happened to leave out? What aspect of Purim did they happen to leave out? Yeah, there you go, Gary. How'd that happen? Shall we say not the least favorite mitzvah? They did not. We're not Yerida of Dai to be able to consider that point. So Mordechai added the tzedakah dimension to the chag. Right, they wanted maximum to actually be a much more formal yontif, said Chazal, and that was not the thing. So things were going good, but the Ibn Ezra says the reason why we have to have a sheinus is because it petered out. Well, why didn't now? So is that psychologically? Why did it peter out? It's so realistic, but why do you th why did the observance of Purim peter out over some years? Right, okay, right,
Impact.
exactly. In other words, how many people are still celebrating the victory of 1967? It was a great victory, okay, but its problem is it's been 57 years, so it lost its gas. So now you come now without a kind of appreciation. Now you understand. So we'll call a toke with Esther's authority and Mordechai's authority. They were to misaken it a second time by Yishlach Tzfarim Kol Yehudim, El Sheva Vestrim Mamea Medina, Malchus Achashverosh, Divrei Shalom MS, Lekaim Es Yimei Purim Eilu Bezmanim, Kasher Kiyam Aleihem Mordechai HaYudah Vestrim Malka, Kasher Kimuel Nafshim Valzarm, Divrei Hatzomos Vazakasam. So to establish these days of Purim in their appropriate times. Now, Plame Shah Bezmanim means in the 14th and the 15th. Because I'll learn that to be Zmanim Har B'Tikna, that we can even read the Megillah on the 11th and 12th and 13th. Okay, Kasher Kiyam Aleihem Mordechai Yehudi Vaster Malka, as they established it prior. Kasher Kimwal Nafsham, people stood up for themselves and their children, and the Divrei Hatzomos Vazakasam. What is this? So how does it? What's the Divrei Hatzomos? That seems to be like a little extra. What's the divrei tzomos as the akasam? So the Torah Sheba'al Peh, which is Ibn Ezra and the Ralbag bring in, they say just as the Jews have already accepted in the time of Zechariah to do the Dalet tzomos, they're going to agree that we're going to, in the same way, we're going to establish, we're going to keep Purim. Or, in addition, as Zechariah created this rabbinic institution of Tisha B'Av and Shavuot and Tammuz and Tzom Gedalia, we're going to do it in the same way. That's sort of the halachic comparison. But the Rambam is not going that way. He says the minhag was a post Talmud minhag of Zeich L'Taina Shednisanu B'Mei Haman. Shnemar Divrei Hatzomos V'Zakasam, as you said correctly, referring to the fast that they observed. That Esther and her maidens and the people of Shushan observed. So the Shiloh is, well, so they fasted. What's it got to do with, in order, what's it got to do with me? Or is, I understand to appreciate the Pirsum HaNeis. Well, this is a bizarre thing. Why have a Zikaron for their fasting? Okay, they fasted. Why does it got to do with me? To appreciate the Chaz de Hashem of the Neis that the entire Jews were saved. Right, so the fact that they fasted. Well, why is that a minhag? Why is that an appropriate minhag? What's the we're fasting as the case is to their fast. What's the logic behind that? If you have a tzara, fast. If you don't have a tzara, why are you fasting? You're fasting because they had a tzara. Let's celebrate the good time. What's going on here? as not part of the original institution. It happened much way later on. Another question. So it's interesting just to make the to make a little more complex. Actually, Yud Gimel Adar was a time of joy. It was a celebration of Yom Nicanor. Nicanor was the Greek general who the Hasmonaim captured and beheaded and put his head on display to show the victory, which had a profound turning point in the Hasmonaim bat wars. So it is in brought down to Megillus in Megillus Tinus, or days you can fast, and you can't fast on that day because it's a, you can't fast on the day because it's Nicanor's day. Okay, so that all got bottled once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and the only thing that what remained is, except for the 2 days that remained, was Hanukkah and Purim. Now, in general, we don't fast before a Yontif and a Shabbat. We don't fast. It's not quite, well, why are you fasting before the holiday of Purim? We're just pounding. Or what really are we trying to do? Like, okay, the fast. What's really the? Okay, and then why such a late date? I mean, there's it's a Tinus Esther is a little bit of a mysterious institution. I'm taking any kind, I'm taking suggestions. But I will, if you want a hint, if you're, you guys want to try to give me an answer now, or you want a textual hint? Maybe you can figure out, tell me right now. Well, what was the minhag? The minhag, and obviously it's a minhag tov. They Chazal fully embraced it. So, check out. I'm going to a very important text for appreciating Purim in general, and I think will give us hint. The actual this institution of Tinus Esther, take a look. The Rambam in his Hakdama, he lists all the mitzvos aseh, mitzvos lo aseh, and then he lists talks about the drabonins. He said like this: Ela kach anu omrim. Look, we're dealing with the problem of how can you add to the mitzvos? How can you add Megillah? It says shenaviim im beis din tiknu v'tzivu likros on Megillah bonosah. The Nevi'im with the Beis Din were masaking and commanded to read the Megillah in his time. It's interesting why he has to bring us Nevi'im. Okay. Kidei, because a Navi has no juridical significance more than a Chacham. All right, I believe that question on the side. Kidei lahazkir shvacha shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'tshuas she'asolanu, in order to mention the pray, his praise of God, him and the tshuos and the salvation that he did. So the Megillah accomplishes that, right? We mentioned the Shvacho by a car of Lashava Senu, that he was close to our Chilo, to our cries to him, to our beseeching. Today, Levarcho Ulahalo, in order to praise him, to bless him and to praise him. Ukide, in order to inform the coming generations, She'emes Shehivti Chanu B'Torah. Ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim mi lav, ki Hashem elokim b'chol karino lav. To tell the truth of the statement that Moshe Rabbeinu says in the fourth chapter of Dvarim, which is, what great nation has Hashem close to him? Like Hashem, our God. Like whenever we call it to him, he responds. So the, so, while Derek said, ki kol mitzvah mitzvah shi mi divrei sofrim, so this is the model of all rabbinic mitzvos, ben aseh ben lo aseh. So, what is the Rambam saying? What is the main messaging? What is the main message, or what are the main messages of Bikur Megillah? What we just did it yesterday. What did we accomplish? I think this point is something that people don't really pay attention to. I pay they may, well, I don't know what they pay attention to, but other things. This is something that I think is frequently missed. What are the message? What are the ideas that really is? Why did the Beis Din of Mordechai and subsequent Mordechai and the Beis Din, why did they were masake in the mitzvah of Megillah Esther? with reason. Moshe?
I'm going to go as far as say that it's to train the Jews. Like, this is the method to, I guess, get God's ear, right? If there's a calamity that is emerging, this is how to deal with it. This is what to do. And not just is how to do it, but this is the model that worked in Gullus, and that's something that for the Jews in Gullus should not be remiss and forget that this is an opportunity and a way how to do it.
100% correct. And that Hashem, and Hashem even told the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu says that the mark of the relationship to the Jewish people when they're on the level is that b'chol karein alav, that Hashem will listen to them whenever they call out to him. And a case study of that effectiveness is the story of Megillah. She who was Masak, and then as Esther said to the Jewish people, tsumo alai, in other words, fast, and obviously fast against tefillah, and they got, and obviously it's not just without planful without a an effective plan, and she had her plus her her strategic plan. The tefillah is that the strategic plan should work. So when Megillah accomplishes A, we gotta recount the Shevach Lashem, and then it calls us to praise him and to bless him, and to inform as a zikaron, as a that the fact is that we had a case study where Klal Yisrael was on the edge of disaster, absolutely the brink of extinction, and that the tefillah saklal works. So I think with that background, I think we understand how the Rambam learns the pasuk in Esther, and what the whole foundation of the minhag is, and then we can build from there. Okay, Moshe.
Sorry, I like so would you say that the it's I mean I don't know, at least for me, like it's a little bit of an underappreciated point that the tzom and the tshuva of Klal Yisrael during that time was perhaps equal or just as much a factor in in the tshuva of Esther and Shushan, just as much as what Mordechai and Esther did.
Yes, that part people want to focus on the on the on on the happy ending, that on the day that we are supposed to be on the days that they want to destroy us on the 13th day of Adar, we were able to turn around and defeat our enemies, and we were and we killed so many Haman and his 10 sons and the 75,000 of anti-Semites there, plus another 800 anti-Semites in the capital city. It's awesome. And Mordechai becomes a number two guy. We get some additional political cover. What a great ending. And Esther remains the queen. What's not to like? It's a perfect ending. But apparently, Chazal felt that that was something that is a major motif, especially Begalos, that we need to focus upon. So much so, also, they established the Divrei HaTzomos VaZakasam, the days of fasting and the crying out that Esther established was critical, and therefore to put that adjacent to Purim to understand cause and effect, especially as Klal Yisrael is going through centuries of tsaros, that would. That is that that's critical. So you can see as Klal Yisrael suffered horribly, in the from the time starting, or this is the 700s, time of the rise of Islam and then the Crusades. So to bring this idea out is relevant. So you can see how that minhag developed appropriately, and the Rambam says that's a good point, because otherwise people don't want to think about that part. They want to think about the Hashem. They want to reduce Hashem to a paternalistic figure who bails people out when they have tzaras, versus that the part of the multi-tier plan that Esther and Mordechai had was a tefillah and action plan they put together, and that is the sort of to counteract that they were masakin that And the fact that it was for only Shushan and the thing, not relevant. That was 3 days and it was over Pesach, not relevant, because I want to show there's the two parts to the Yeshua. There was the Tinus and the Zaka part for Klal Yisrael, and then Esther acting strategically with great chokhmah to bring the, bring home the victory. But it was a critical part. So therefore, your Purim will be diminished. You won't really appreciate it. In fact, he's saying there's the Yesod. The Yesod is that the Kadosh Baruch Hu does respond to the B'chol Karein we love. So that's the Yesod that has to be maintained. So, yeah, true.
Elaborate a little bit on that point. So they were some they the minhag was to fast to
Arab.
kind of like underline that point. But the color of the trouble will cover show you. That's
Right,
that
and be
underline because now you keep the
good.
line on that.
So the as a Rambam says, I'll just read the Lashon HaRam, I think he says, we're fasting Zecher Latinus should Nisanu be Mehaman. To fast, to recall the fast that they fasted in the days of Haman, which means that the Klal Yisrael's response to tragedy was fasting, tefillah, and acting intelligently. And that, as we're living in the world of Golos, is critical. Critical for us as a strategic point. And not to get, and really to, basically, it's also removing a negative, because you're going to have a, in order, there's a preserving of Yesod that Hashem is B'chol Karein we love, but B is you're not going to appreciate, you're not going to have a balanced view of Purim, because you're going to say Purim is you're just going to focus on, and we got an ace. They may not have a. Right. They had to give a number of reasons. You have to say the Shabbat. You're chayav to say the Shabbat because Hashem did tov to the Klal Yisrael. That's one. And two is to that he's karv l'shavim. That's in other words, that's equally. I'm going to say a weird word. That's equally miraculous. Like, why would you assume that? In other words, we don't empirically. Tefillah is a very difficult experience because we don't really feel that experience of cause and effect empirically. You can't really ever prove that your tefillah was efficacious. So they have a taste, a case study of the efficacious, the effectiveness of national tefillah for a national problem. So yes, and I mean, that's a very good point. In other words, if that element was not there, would the as he says in the Nevi'im and Beis Dino Tiknu Vesivu Likros Hamgila Bonoso, would that have been the case? I don't know. It seems that all you need all those elements. To be there. So it plays a very important role that he's Karvel and two, Lo Daros. There's to teach that the generations about the critical need of Tfilah Zaka and Shuva Beis Sarah.
Over naturally, of course,
Does not want to think
what
about
that
that.
aspect of the whole thing, Aaron, you see, that is so the
Yeah.
line of kind of forces us to underline that point that you
Correct.
might have.
And it's relevant to us because we're all wearing, because you're in Gauls, you're always in a state of Tsaris. You know what I mean? Always, to varying degrees of Tsaris. The Jewish people are always in a state, by definition, until you Moshiach, we're always in a state of Tsaris. Can't get out of that. That's what it is. That's what Gauls is. It's an onus of Gauls. It's the onus of Gauls. Okay, so now let's just get the last piece and we can make an assessment. Kol Sifrei Nevi'im b'kol k'suvim asidin libatul mos Mashiach. This is a famous run. This is the last halacha in Hilchos Megillah, in chapter 2, halacha Yud Ches. He says all the books of the Nevi'im k'suvim of Nach are going to be batel. And he says, so they're going to be taken off the shelf. I'm not going to read them. I'm not going to learn them. Including Megillah Esther, except from Megillah Esther. Harei kayemes kachamishi chum shei Torah kalacha shei Torah shval peh she'ena b'tein olam. So you're going to have Chumash, all the Torah Shavuot Peh, and Megillas Esther. That'll be the new canon, the Mos Mashiach, which is a radical statement, but it comes from the Gemara. Yeah, even though all the Zichron Hatzaras will become batal, Shnemar Kimishkuchu Hatzaras, our Rishon knows that all, in other words, that the, what does that mean? That means that in the time of the Mashiach, the Gula Shlema will be so overwhelming, you'll have no recollection of the Tzaras. It's going to be, okay, so it's going to, so therefore, however, you may have Purim lo yiftalu. You're not going, the days of Purim will not become batal shenemar. You may have Purim ha'ele lo yavru mitoch ha'yudim zichron yosuf mizaram. And the days of Purim will not pass from the Jewish people, and this and its memory will not end for its descendants. So so this is an eternal holiday. So okay, so the Rav's basic move was just to bring it to, is that since Tainus Esther is wedded to Purim, therefore, since Purim is eternal, Tainus Esther is eternal. Okay, that's one shot. So Yoni, my chavrusa, listed a series of questions on that thing. Number one, where does a Rambam bring the mitzvah, the minhag of Tainus Esther? That would be strong if it was in Hilchos Megillah. He does not. He puts it in the fifth chapter of Tainus with all the other Tainuses. And the end of the Tainus, he says, all, as we read in the first law, call it Samos Elo, Asid and Levat Lemos Mashiach. It could be Batal. So that's number one. So you see that it's in ours. It could be that it's a Zichron Tzaras. So they responded to Tzaras, but in a time where we're post Tzaras, there's no, there. You could argue, there's no utility anymore. In other words, what utility does doing tshuva and crying out to a Kodesh Baruch Hu b'shas tzara do to a time when finally Jewish history has come to the end, where we're now past the world of tzaras? What exercise does Tainus Esther have for the, such a community? If there be a man who should come, should have that experience. That's, so he had asked those questions, which I felt were very. Go ahead.
And that was that the contrast between the days of the wind that required the psalm.
So you're saying it's like a masal benus m'sayim b'shev. In other words, we start by.
That contrast shows the level of the
somebody. Right. For, like just as by at Seder night, we talk about the Avodah Zarah and the Avdus of Klal Yisrael. And when we saw him with the gula, so too on Tainus Esther we focus about the tzara, and then we conclude with the form with the
body with the bed demonstrates the great level
right. of the good. All appreciation of the toe comes when you start to contrast it with the depth of the ra. Okay, good.
So that contrast still exists. So from that perspective.
It was just you can make
a question, you know,
right?
Answer some of the questions in terms of utility. The utility isn't to teach us how to deal with it in Golos.
So the question is that so then why didn't you bring that? The kasha, so why didn't you bring Tainus Esther, the minhag of Tainus Esther, Hilchos Megillah? Because it's really purely about a enhancement of the a Purim, then you should put it, and then. And he doesn't qualify called Thomas Elu Asidim Levatel Mos Mashiach Laod Elie Asidim Lios Yom Tovim. Now,
I know some of those little questions where a comma goes, those would pass and exist.
Right. Right. So you could say that you could make the. I mean, this that's not, you know, you could argue that Vinahagu is a standalone minhag, and that could be not applied to that thing. Okay, now, but I want to share really this the issue. Even if so, I'm just really pointing out that it's not so simple. But one thing is interesting is that the idea does not go away, and that's found in there's a machlokas in the Gemara, which is a fascinating machlokas, which again. Bring this speaks to our point, and the Rav actually brings this Gemara also in. Amar Rav Yeshua. So this is Daf Dalam Amud Beis. Amar Yeshua ben Levi Chayv Adam Likros Es Megillah Belayla V'Lishno Sah B'Yom Shemar Elohai Ekra Yomam V'Lo Saneh Belayla Lo Domili. So Yeshua ben Levi said that a person is obligated to read the Megillah at night, and repeat it by day. Okay. Now why is that strange? Why did he have to, why is he telling you your chayav to do this? There's a chiddush here. What's the chiddush? What's your havamina? That what havamina is he dispelling? I mean, if I ask you, okay, Moshe, you're on mute. I'm muted.
Sorry. Isn't it that there's a sheet that holds you only have to read during the day once?
Well,
And
there's a
you're not
sheet that
going to.
says, well, you say we that really that the Ikkar reading is by day. The Ikkar reading is by day. But I mean, basically, the Pesulim Pshat, I think, is the most simple, is that all Kriyas HaTorah throughout the whole year is B'yom. You don't have reading at night. The only reading we have at night is a very late minhag that developed to read the first aliyah of Zos HaBrach on Simchas Torah night. That is maybe 400 years old. Very, in fact, so much so that Chaim did not hold by it. In famous case, he held that it was. He felt that categorically and conceptually it was wrong, but he's a Bal Kore. He did it because once it's in, he felt that once it's in the Misakin in the Tzibur and it's a Minhag Tov or it's somehow accepted, he actually leaned. Shows interesting. Now, conceptually, I think this is a mistake. This was not, but all right. So he had the concept, but here. He Rav Yehuda ben Levi says, no, you're chayav to do it twice. Now, the pasuk he quotes is something very interesting from Perikop Beis in Netilim. The pasuk right before that is, Eli, Eli, lama zavtani. My God, why have you abandoned me? So he's talking about David HaMelech's complete sense of complete abandonment. He says, my God, I cry to you by day, and you don't answer. And at night, there's no quiet for me, which means I'm dying. It feels like he has these davening. He has an unceasing aspect of tefillah, so he feels he needs to daven in an unceasing manner because the tzara is so great. So we have to read for us to read the Megillah once would not bring in the aspect of the tefillah. The Rashi says that they were mispalim for the nace. They were fasting, so that you have to bring out that theme in the very Yom HaPurim itself. Mechayev of reading it twice is to reflect the quality of unceasing tefillah for the nates. So whether or not, so therefore the minhag was to then take that idea and expand it to an entire day of tinus, but intrinsically in the institution of the Mikra Megillah is 2 days, is two times, is that very idea. And then we have the other concept, Itmar Nami, alternatively, that you have to read again. Amar Ula Birah Chayav Adam Lekroses and Megillah Biyam Lishnosa Biyam Gila B'Layla and repeat it by day. Shnemar Laman Yizemecha Kavov Loi Dam Hashem Elokai Lama. This is we say, Mr. Shachan is a wise David that I will oh I will sing so my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. Oh Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So there's another dimension of saying Shevach and Hodah for the nace, and to just say thank you Hashem. That would be foundationally lacking. Has to be a quality of a repetition. Lo Yidum, I'm not going to. I can't be quiet about it. You have two opposing ideas within Mikra Megillah itself. Is Mikra Megillah the obligation to do it twice, reflecting the unceasing tefillah, or the unceasing Shevach Hodah. So, but the minna that developed in the Gaonic time was to reflect, take that idea of the Zecher of the Divrei Tzemach V'Zakasam and to make that into an entire Yom. And one can go back and forth whether or not, even if it is was to appreciate the Purim, would that element still have relevance to a post-Gula community or not? You can make the case, and within the Rambam, you can go back and forth. But even if you don't, intrinsically in the Chiyuv Mikra Megillah Belayla Ubayom has that theme built into it. According to Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Even if there is no time ancestor, that idea is manifest in the repetition, which again people don't feel like, because the simcha of the yom, people partying and enjoying, that this aspect dissipates. You don't people don't feel in the. That's why you can see why the minhag had to do it. So much so, the Rav brings down in one of his shiurim that he noted that in the siddur of Rav Amram Gon, that they in his yeshiva, they would say Tachnun on Purim. It's not a stira because it fits in very nicely. Because yes, we're you may Simcha v'Halal, but we dodged a bullet because we were Misa. We're Chayat to Mismal. So those that kind of tefillah under duress is not something which is it fits in thematically nicely. Normally you wouldn't have a Tachnun and Yom Simcha. Those things are stiras to each other. Because you know, if I'm appreciating Shevach Hashem, Hashem is being good to the Jewish people, you're not going to think about where we are. We need manas kinam, and we need to bail us out, and we're not worthy. You're not those. That's a contrary theme. Here, Purim is unique. You have literally two opposite modes, and that's why the minhag was to off take that idea, move it heir of the holiday. You can appreciate it, and what Tuvia said also to show the great low that we're in, to appreciate the great high that we received, but also the role, which Rama says, of b'chol kareinu love, that Hashem is there for the Jewish people when they reach out to him, you know, Karev Hashem l'chol karev l'chol shekarev mess. Not just they stam, like there was that on Tainus Esther, so they had a thing by the Kotel. I mean, I don't know if you may note about it, that they had a big Tefillah gathering, which is appropriate, and davening. But then they said something like, everybody should say Shema at exactly 5:30, okay, which is 11:30 in America, New York time. And the guy said, okay, to be Makabal along Shemayim, that's intrinsically good. But they say, for the sake to reveal the, to redeem the hostages. That I'm not so good about, because Kabbalah along Shemayim is a good in and of itself. You cannot make an instrumental. Really, Kabbalah, that's a, but for the for it comes back to the idea of the transferring zechus idea. Like, or if you if that if everybody is makabel shemayim at that moment, that will, you know, be will turn into a lot of credits of zechus, which will then will cause the heavenly cheshbon to go into the positive category, and then cause the just intrinsically this is the good. And as far as right, so they want to make it into a magic thing.
Did I emphasize one point about?
Right. Yeah, Moshe.
Yeah, just it's interesting with I guess saying the Megillah twice that it doesn't quote, and I think it's a point that you made, but just maybe to highlight a little bit more that according to both Shitas, there's no pasuk from the Megillah that they quote to say that you have to read the Megillah twice, but rather it's a halacha and tefillah that's brought from Tehillim to highlight either, I guess, Shevach or what you said.
Moshe, an excellent point. Moshe doesn't want to be for everybody's benefit. Moshe made the point that notice they did not bring a source from the Megillah itself, for to suggest to buttress the obligation to say it twice. They bring it from the framework of Tillim to go to a general overarching theme of either Tila or Hoda, and he's coming there to suggest a basic that they're seeing it that this the because you see the, which is the same way the Ram looks at it. What is the Rambam's vision of Mikra Megillah? Why they institute it? Not for just the retelling of the story. Yes, to recount the Shevach of Hashem that he did that, and to talk about that Hashem is Karvel Hashavenu, and to tell and people can praise and thank praise Hashem. And in order that people will know for generation that Hashem listens to the tefillos of Klal Yisrael, B'Shas Tzara. Going back to the point of the gathering on thing that yeah, saying the words of Shema Yisrael Shema Kinyan Shema Chad is not automatically Kabbalah Shemaim. It has to require know what you're saying, and you have a what's your concept of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and what does it mean that saying Hashem Elokeinu Hashem is our God? I'm accepting the schar, his rule. So just if a person does not accept that, just says it as an empty statement, as somehow going to be a magical thing, obviously that has no utility or little utility. What's the value of that? So, correct. So it's like, well, you see, they're close, but sort of like if they wanted, they had to reduce into a sort of like let's call it, religious gimmickry, a religious gimmick. Right? And also, I don't like the 5:30 business. We're all going to say the same time. And what? And if we all said it 1 minute apart, well, that gets into the prohibition of being an onane. That at certain there's propitious times, not propitious times, seems to get a little closer to the pagan nonsense. Right, the magical. There's a magic time. And there's an idea of an ace ratzon, but the ace ratzon is not because you hit upon a magic. It's Klal Yisrael comes together like they did. There was an ace ratzon when Klal Yisrael for 3 days. Seeing the fact that we're going to die if we don't change our ways, which Chazal pointed out basically was assimilation, or they were at the Sudas of they loved, one it's not simply I heard a nice word. It wasn't that, what people ask questions, they were punished. Two possibilities more says. One is they ate at the Sudas, not that they ate treif. First of all, you don't kill, so let's say you eat treif, then you don't give people a treif. And if the Melech invites you, don't you have to go? So you don't want to mavaz the Melech. But the guy, one guy, I forgot the guy's name. It's unfortunate, but not sure.
Nene,
Nene, the Nene me Mesudas Achashverosh. Right. So that was exactly his board. His board was, I forgot the guy's name from YU. He came in and gave his board. I remember his exact name. He says, sometimes there's going to do to be to having to work with a melech because you have to do that, like Mordechai did. He's a humble servant. I got to do that, and I give up my time, and I don't want to be there, but I have to do it for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Nana means they enjoyed. They got the invitation from Melech Achashverosh. They were all excited. They got a fresh suit. They walked in there. They felt good. They felt good like they were like just everybody else. You know what I mean? It's like when a Jew gets invited to the Hanukkah party at the White House. How do they feel? Oh, they feel they can't take enough selfies. Can't take enough selfies. They love the idea that they're getting the security of being Karvel Melech. And you see what happened to the Jews. Like 10 years later, Achashverosh sold them out, and 9 years later, sold them out to Haman for the possibility of 10,000 pieces of silver and eradicating of a fifth column in the empire. So so they did tshuva on that. They were, and therefore they were answered. Everything well worked out so beautifully for Esther to be successful. So that's the basic idea. So just to sum her up, so will we fast in times Esther the most Mashiach? The Rav wants to say yes, because it plays it's an educational extension of Purim. Since Purim will be hearing most of Mashiach, so will be Tanya's Esther. Questions are, why did he put it in Hilchos Megillah? Why is the Rambam say all the tzomos will be bottled and turned to a holiday? Maybe that will be the case as well. So you can raise some questions on it. But still, the idea is still good that Tanya's Esther is about appreciating the role of tefillah and tzedakah and tshuva and tainus as a critical step toward the Yeshua of Purim, and that's why we have it. And that's and even if we won't have it, the very repetition of the Megillah itself, as expressed by Yehoshua ben Levi, is that idea itself that you have to reflect upon the fact of the incessant davening for the nace, and that's why we do it twice. We read the Megillah twice to bring out that motif, and that's just a couple of thoughts on this topic. Any questions? All right. Okay, good. All right. Take care, Moshe. All the best.